The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange provides the technology, content, and expertise to identify and acquire your next ideal customer. Season 2, Episode 6 features Jonathan Beeston, Product Marketing Director, EMEA at Salesforce, in conversation with Justin Cook, Chairman of Demand Exchange.
Welcome to Advertising Week Europe London, and I am delighted to be joined this morning by Jonathan Beeston, who's the Product Marketing Director for EMEA for Salesforce Marketing Cloud. Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, tell me a little bit about the role.
Yes, well, product marketing, I mean, that's what is product marketing? And that can mean lots of different things at different companies. But for me, product marketing is a really special place to be, particularly in tech. Because you are at the, you know, imagine the Venn diagram between sales, between marketing, field marketing, and product. Product marketing is right in the middle of that, trying to unify, really, what's our messaging behind our products? How do we articulate that to customers and prospects about why a product is relevant to the challenges they have? And how do we make sure our sales teams understand that? And at Salesforce, there's a huge number of salespeople. And how do we make sure that those salespeople are supported in the right way with marketing at, you know, field at events, at you know, through ABM, through all the other marketing tactics we might employ, are supported in the right way to generate demand for those salespeople. Product marketing is right in the middle of that, trying to make sure all of those things line up. So it's a really interesting space.
And how's it evolved? Because this has been an ongoing kind of conversation as part of this series on the business of marketing. How has that role of product marketing kind of evolved, particularly at Salesforce?
I think it's grown enormously, right? And I think if you work in tech, and I've no doubt we're going to get to this conversation pretty quickly, right? I've always liked working in tech and digital marketing because there is a pace of change. And how better to illustrate that with the advent of generative AI that's come upon us in the last 18 months, 2 years, whatever it is, and the sort of the acceleration of the possibilities that we think that holds for marketers and lots of other people inside businesses. Trying to really pick away at that and say, well, it's exciting, it's fantastic, but how do we actually make that work for people? How do we actually make that work for companies and enterprises? Being part of that conversation, developing that narrative, talking to customers, hearing how they think about things, I think it's a really interesting space. And, you know, at Salesforce, we're putting, you know, a huge amount of resources into AI, not just generative AI, but predictive AI, which we've been working on for very many years, to really help companies accelerate what they can do with their customers, accelerate the productivity of their employees as well. So tech never fails to amaze me how it can suddenly reinvent these things or invent these things. And as a product marketer, you get to be right in the middle of that. So that's quite good.
And that pace of change, you're obviously receiving a huge amount of inputs, right?
Yes.
And then you then got product and marketing and sales to then sort of turn that into kind of outputs.
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, it becomes a lot about process, right? So product marketing is going to be very different from if you're in a very small startup and you are right at the start of thinking, what's our product market fit? How do we actually articulate what our product does? What are really the problems that we think it solves? Through to, you know, much larger established global enterprises like Salesforce, where you're thinking about the scale. How do we, you know, as a product marketer, trying to make sure our salespeople are in their best position to have the right conversation with their customers? How can we make sure, you know, my mantra for a lot of those internal enablement things is no AE left behind, right? So how do we make sure everyone gets covered, you know, and how can we do that at scale? How can we do that programmatically and make sure that, you know, every AE has the resources they need to help their customers with their business challenges?
I've really been looking forward to this conversation, because it's not often that you sort of get to sit down with a business and an individual like you, who is really empowering at scale a large number of this entire industry. But what we're really talking about is how you're doing that for yourself as well, right? Which I think is really, really interesting. So some of the thoughts and questions I've got for you around how you're doing it for Salesforce, as well as obviously for your customers. When you do talk about processes and the people that you're empowering, how do you get that right? Where does automation start and stop, and when does the human kind of get involved?
That's a good question, and I think that's relevant for any marketer at the moment, or anyone in business who is thinking about how do we use all of, you know, AI, generative AI, to automate a lot of things, but how do we also make sure, you know, there's a human in the loop, and how do we make sure that everything we're doing it in the right way, with, you know, with trust as our guiding principle, to make sure that, you know, technology can help us do all sorts of things. It doesn't mean we should do all sorts of things. We need to do those things in the right way, and unless you start with that principle, you're going to get lost pretty quickly. So I think, you know, with scale, I mean, I think this is one of the really interesting challenges around generative AI in particular, is that, you know, every company is sitting on all sorts of interesting data inside the company. And, you know, from a perspective of sales enablement, let's say, lots and lots of information that's in slides, that's in, you know, Slack channels, that's, you know, in a CRM, hopefully Salesforce. And how can you use that data to find answers for AEs and managers and other people on, you know, has anyone seen this problem before? How did you solve this? How do I get a view of this customer or prospect and all the data we have on them? Generative AI is an amazing tool to pull all of that data together in a way that's accessible and readable and real time. But there's a real challenge there, because that's your company confidential data. It almost certainly has confidential data on your customers, you know, their personal data, their email, their phone number, that kind of stuff. So how can you utilize generative AI without giving it that data? And I think that's really interesting. And I think every business leader, whether they're a CEO, CIO, or a CMO, has a concern about that. And we've just completed the 9th edition of some research we do called The State of Marketing. And as we're talking, it's not out, but by the time hopefully you're listening, it will be. And, you know, when we talk to marketers, we talk to nearly 5,000 marketers all over the world. You know, generative AI is their, they see that as their number one opportunity, but they also see it as their number one challenge. And CMOs in particular worry about how can we use the power of generative AI, but we've got to respect the confidentiality of our data. So you can't just charge headlong into that, right? You've got to start to think, well, how can we make sure that we have the right framework? How can we retrieve the data that's relevant? How can we put that into a prompt? And we don't want to make all of our marketers prompt engineers, just like we don't want to make all of our marketers SQL experts, right? We want them to be marketers. How can we put that into a prompt? We can give that prompt to a large language model, but none of that data is ultimately retained. And how can we make sure that the output is right from, you know, looking for things like toxicity, and it's auditable as well? Because there's great power, there's great acceleration there of marketing operations, but it's got to be done in the right way so that that information doesn't end up inside a large language model for anyone to stumble across at some future point. So I think you know, that's something that we're working on pretty hard at Salesforce, is to help our customers enable that process. How can you collect that customer data? How can you really use AI to solve the problems that salespeople, that service people, that marketers have? Really shorten that, you know, the time they spend, and people spend too much time wrangling data when that's not really their job. You know, use generative AI to help them with that, but do it in a way that's safe, that respects the data you have inside your company.
And is it too early to start to look at some of the gains that you're making, the efficiencies, the effectiveness kind of gains?
I think what we're starting to see is some really interesting use cases. And I think, you know, I think the conversation around generative AI, we really need to think about two things. The conversation a lot is about models and training models. And on the whole, for most companies, that is totally out of reach because that's an expensive business. And how do you really do that in a way that then doesn't leak your data to other people? I think what's really interesting is how can you use the right data in the right workflow to solve a problem? And I'll give you one of my favorite examples that we've developed on the marketing side is our data cloud, where people are, you know, they've got their customer data in there, and we want to use that united customer data to create an audience segment. So, you know, create me an audience segment for people who've bought my product in the last 14 days but haven't activated the credit card, or, you know, and you and I can have a conversation about the kind of audience we might want to, put on an email journey, for example, to get them to activate that card. Now, we can talk about that audience really easily. However, when it comes to saying, right, okay, well, how do I build that audience segment? Even for someone who's quite skilled, that is a job that takes quite some time. Wouldn't it be better if I could just literally just type that in? And that's exactly what we've built in our data cloud. So you can just say, well, build me this segment. And it does it. It's not doing anything that skilled operator couldn't do. But what's really important is it's doing it in about 15 seconds, right? And it's still there. You can still hit the edit button. You can say, no, that's not what I meant. Or I can, you know, iterate on that prompt and I want something else. Or I can, edit it and fiddle with the Boolean logic or the fields that have been used and do it the old-fashioned way, if you will. But it just accelerates that so much more quickly. And I think, you know, some of the research that's come out of our state of marketing report is that, you know, the times that marketers want to do stuff, but they need some technical help to get it done. And building audience segments, I think, is the number one example that came out of the data. So I think for me, that's really interesting. I often tell an old joke of, you know, I didn't get into marketing because I wanted to spend more time with spreadsheets, but here I am, right? And that often feels like the way. So, I think understanding what's the right data, how can I use it in my existing workflows? Mm-hmm. I don't want to go off to another tool to do this. I want to do it where I am in something that's familiar. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important.
It's really interesting because a number of conversations we've had this week, completely unprompted, have been about a new golden age. And, you know, what you kind of just painted there was somewhat of a nirvana in terms of, is this a moment when we are in that evolutionary kind of curve, getting out of the spreadsheets?
Well, I mean, I certainly hope so. I mean, because I think, you know, what's the real value that marketers add is that, and what almost everyone wants to do, is that strategic connection with the customer or would-be customer. How do I position myself in a way that's relevant to whatever their needs are at the time and put the right kind of message in front of them? And, you know, we all see God knows how many marketing messages a day. They're fleeting moments. That window of opportunity is small. So the ability to really try and deliver the right message, you know, the old cliche, the right channel, the right time, is really important. And I think that's where AI, not just generative AI, but predictive AI that can say, well, this person is much more likely to respond to a WhatsApp message than an email, for example. That's the channel we should pick. I think that's really, it's real progress, I think.
And you've used the term message there, and let's unpack that a little bit, because, you know, I love the fact that sort of you've given a brilliant use case on the right people, right? And we'll talk about the right channel in a minute, but message? How are you really thinking about using AI to get that messaging right?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, it's not my adage, but you know, if you can have 1,000 audience segments, but if you only have 2 creative messages, then you only have 2 segments, right? So I think the ability to iterate on the right kind of message, but also put in the right kind of personalization. And I think, you know, we talk about personalization a lot in marketing, and it's a very broad term. From I managed to put the customer's name at the start of the email, through to something a lot more sophisticated, right? So, and I think this is where, you know, being able to connect with your data becomes really important. And I think what marketers have the opportunity to do is not just connect with the marketing data they have, but to connect with all the data they have on that customer. Because, yes, maybe I want to send a customer a message, but if I can see that they've got, you know, a service ticket open, if they are, you know, if they're currently wrangling a policy claim through my, you know, through the claims department of my insurance company, which normally as a marketer I don't have anything to do with, then maybe I shouldn't be trying to, you know, upsell them on their home insurance because they've got problems enough, right? I think, you know, that becomes really interesting, because it's, I think for too long marketers have had to just make do with the marketing data they can collect. But can you, you know, really bring that single view of the customer? We've lusted after that for a long time. It's here, but that single view of the customer is not the end. It's the means to an end. It's a means to activate the right kind of marketing message, or indeed the right kind of information for a service agent who's on the phone to a customer to understand very quickly what that customer's challenge is and try and resolve that. Or for a, you know, a salesperson, a B2B salesperson, to say, right, where did this customer, what events did they come to? When's their renewal for this product? When's what do we know about their activity on our website? What have they been looking at? How can I unify all of that so I can have a really personalized conversation with them, or send them a personalized piece of information? So I think, you know, bringing all that marketing data together, all of that data together, is really important, so that when we think about personalization, we're not just thinking about the very simplistic stuff, but we're also thinking very holistically. Because that customer, I don't think to myself, oh, well, I'm engaging with the marketing department at this company at the moment. I don't, you know, even as someone who is possibly thinking about that, I don't care. I want my problem solved. I want to buy this product. I'm trying to figure out my home insurance, which I was 2 weeks ago, and I actually got an email quote from an insurer this morning. I'm like, yeah, 2 weeks later, that's a bit too late, pal. Right, so, you know, that hasn't come from their marketing department, but, you know, it's still a message that I've received, and it, you know, it was very personalized, but it definitely did not come at the right time.
What role does brand play in all of this? You know, I'm thinking, as you're talking around personalization and messaging, how important is the tone? How important is that you retain that sort of coherent, consistent sort of brand kind of component to this? Because we're, you know, as you said, we're in a world now where we have infinite numbers of possibilities. How do you retain that, particularly from a Salesforce point of view?
Well, but brand is, you know, from a B2B point of view, if we put this really simplistically, if there's a someone in a company somewhere saying, right, we want to invest in this kind of technology, what are the companies we can think of that provide this kind of technology? Then obviously we want Salesforce to be on that list. Ideally the first name they put in, but certainly, you know, one of the names. So there's that, you know, that old fashioned, you know, unaided brand awareness is really important for any company, no matter how big they are. In a relevant way as well. The second thing is, you know, your brand campaigns can help articulate how you come at a problem. You know, we talked a lot about trust, about how important that is for generative AI. You know, we have a fantastic spokesman, Matthew McConaughey, doing creative ads for us. Now, those ads obviously don't go into the details of how this technology works and, you know, the many, many innovations we've created in the last couple of years around that. But it can articulate that, you know, what we think is important and what we think is important to customers as well. You know, and it does that with a good dose of humor as well. So I think that's really important.
Going back to the human element of this conversation for a moment, how do you like to structure your team? And what sort of skills do you kind of look for when you're recruiting?
What a good question. And I'm doing some recruiting at the moment. So that's something I should build into the frame, right? So I think skills, I think as a product marketer, you've always got to have, and I think this is true for any marketer, the ability to put yourselves in someone else's shoes is really important. So whether that's a potential customer or a salesperson who's trying to, you know, battle all of the information they get into what's important, right? So you've always got to think, well, how is this going to fit into someone else's life, right? So I think that's that ability to think about those things. I think, you know, so, some of the skills I look for are, you know, very transferable skills. So how can you ingest and absorb all of the information that's going on, that's coming along, you know? And I think, you know, all the changes that have happened with generative AI coming along are a really good illustration. How can we quickly absorb? Where does that fit into the world, into the world of Salesforce, but into the world of our customers and everything else? So that ability to absorb knowledge and to enjoy that process, I think, is really important. And then you've got to spit it back out again, right? So how can you do that in a really simple, accessible way? As product marketers, particularly in tech, we are the worst people for writing 5-syllable words in 50-word-long sentences, right? And you're like, well, that sounds clever, but I have no idea what it means, right? And it's so easy to do that. And, you know, getting that messaging in really simplistic terms is really important. Not because we think the reader isn't intelligent. On the contrary, what the reader, whoever it is, doesn't have is time. And they want to understand this quickly. So don't make that difficult for them. So I think you know, those kind of skills are really important, along with everything else you need to work, you know. Can you manage your time? Can you ruthlessly prioritize? Can you, you know, decide who today you're going to disappoint because there's a couple of people that we need to deliver something for? All those skills, which I think are pretty transferable in any job.
And what metrics do you tend to lean into these days? How do you measure what you're doing?
Well, measuring product marketing is always difficult, right? But ultimately, we are there to help the company, you know, grow its revenue. So how are we feeding leads, pipe? You know, think of, you know, the classical B2B funnel. How are we doing that so that turns into revenue for the company? As a product marketer, you don't directly control that. You're not going to go and close a deal. And when you're chatting to salespeople, it's always worth being humble at that point. And remember, you're not, however easy you might think it is to close a deal, it's the salespeople that actually do it, and it's a lot harder than you think, right? So, and, you know, you're not necessarily going to create an event and, you know, work out the, you know, we're at Adweek, right? So there's a registration desk, all the mechanics of actually running an event. You're not going to do that. You're going to be here to provide content. So you play an important role across that, but you're influencing a lot of that as well. But ultimately, how are you helping deliver that pipe so that salespeople can deliver revenue?
Let's go back to the report that you are imminently releasing. What other than AI is kind of on the kind of the list of priorities and challenges that you found from those 5,000 recipients?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's some age-old things, right? Data is the big one, right? That people are, marketers are always increasing the amount of data they have available to them. And, you know, that data can be, you know, real-time. It can be, you know, batch kind of data, but it's a question of how can you really access it, you know, as a marketer, you're a business user, right? So the fact that there's data in a data warehouse is great, but I'm telling you, most marketers don't have logins to a data warehouse, right? So as a marketer, how can you access that data in the right way? And also, you know, getting back to personalization, how can you use it? So, you know, I think when we ask marketers, you know, where are you personalizing content? We see what's at the top of the list is, you know, customer support is an interesting one. Onboarding, actually where you have the most data potentially about an individual or a company. And then, you know, they're trying to use it in sort of more established ways of, you know, how do I put the right ad or email in front of people. But I think, you know, it's that data, you know, we could have talked about State of Marketing, the fifth edition or whatever, and we would say that data challenge is just growing and growing. There's data everywhere. It's more a question of how do you really action it, because that's what's important. There's it's like the postman, right? The postman ultimately delivers the message, right? You can do all the work before that, but if the postman doesn't deliver the message, you wasted your time. It's the same thing in marketing. You've got to make sure that you can actually use all of that to deliver that message, whether it's an ad or an email or a WhatsApp or whatever, in front of the right person at the right time.
And looking at that report and mapping that to your own sort of product marketing, what are you excited about in terms of coming next?
I think, you know, for me, this promise of data, you know, unification is really now a reality. The fact that no matter where people have data, whether it's inside a Salesforce application or whether it's inside a, you know, a data lake or somewhere else, we really now can unite and connect that and make it available for a business user, whether that's a marketer or a service user or a salesperson or somewhat a commerce person or whatever it is. That is a reality. And I think that really opens up so many possibilities of helping people do their jobs better. And actually not just delivering better results, you know, for the company, but actually making people's, you know, employees' experience better. I think we've all been on the phone to a call center and you can hear the frustration of the person on the other end. I've just got to log into this next system to just try and do this and do that. And you know, well, you know, you and I know that that person is being measured on call resolution time and that kind of stuff, yet they're struggling with trying to get a view of who I am and what I want. Well, we can transform that experience. It's going to help in a couple of ways, because it means more automation can happen, so I can self-serve a lot more. But also that call center agent can deal with the more difficult problems, but also deal with them an awful lot better. And then, you know, things like AI can do amazing things, like, you know, write me a call summary, write me the call notes. They can just do that, right? And that can go into an internal system for other people to use later. So I think that's what's really exciting, is that opportunity that it's going to make people's employees' lives better, as well as deliver better experiences for customers.
And on that better experience point, you've mentioned WhatsApp. I think we've talked generally about email. You've talked about working with Matthew McConaughey kind of at a more kind of consumer brand level. What channels do you think in B2B are the most exciting and perhaps underutilized at this moment in time?
Oh, that's a good question. I think, you know what, I think it's a mistake to sort of put B2B on one side of the room and B2C on the other side of the room. Ultimately, there is a individual that you want to put a message in front of. Now, yes, with B2B, you're not just thinking about one individual most of the time. You're thinking there's a collection of individuals who play differing roles at a company that are going to help you get some business done. But I don't think, therefore, any channels are off limits. I think connected TV, you know, and if you've watched Formula One, you will have seen the Salesforce logo feature there as well. So, and you know, connected TV to deliver very specific ads in the ad breaks of things like that, I think is really interesting at a higher level. But you know, I think some things haven't changed. I think people still enjoy the real world event. They still enjoy networking with their peers. I think they probably are a bit more choosy about what they're, the pandemic and everything has definitely changed the way we think about things and when we come into big cities and when we don't. So people are more choosy about the kind of event and what kind of experience they want there. But, I think those, anything that's available to a B2C marketer is available to a B2B marketer as well. And, you just got to take advantage of what those opportunities are.
You've got a really big event coming up, I believe. I don't want to remind you of that, by the way. I apologize.
Yes.
And I think Salesforce, I think is really kind of put on a pedestal when it comes to being, a business which has built an incredible kind of partner ecosystem. Tell me about how that relationship between that wider partner ecosystem and product marketing works.
Yeah, well, we have some core values at Salesforce, and innovation is one of those. And I think it's easy to think about that innovation in terms of, what Salesforce itself does, and, we do plenty. But for me, it's enabling the innovation of our customers, of our partners, and everything they can build around that. There are millions and millions of people who have built careers on becoming experts on the Salesforce ecosystem, people from all sorts of backgrounds. And I think that's, for me, that's an amazing thing, and that speaks so well to our company's values, is that, anyone who's prepared to put in the time can become a Salesforce expert. And we see amazing examples from people from all sorts of backgrounds. We often celebrate those at, individuals at our big events as well. So, those individuals, those partners, they're all part of, a greater thing, right? And I think that is great for Salesforce but it's also great for our customers that they can lean on that expertise. They can discover new solutions. They can find the right partners all over the world who can help them use Salesforce technology, to deliver better experiences to their customers. So that ecosystem is only growing. Anyone can literally go to Trailhead, which is our online learning platform, and start for free today. And there's amazing content on there. And, I use it plenty myself to understand exactly what our products are doing under the hood, because I'm always learning. And if people are interested, you can literally start today.
I love that always be learning principle. Brilliant. We're at Advertising Week and there are hundreds of leaders here, but there's also a wealth of new talent coming onto the scene. They're looking to make their first step. What advice would you give to them?
Oh, goodness. I think, let's start with that learning thing, right? So when I was young once, it might be, my kids don't believe that. Maybe people listening don't either, but I was. One of the first things I did was worked on a project producing CD-ROMs. I don't think anyone listening to this will even have a computer that can take a CD-ROM, right? But that was new technology then. So that we had to learn how best to use that, how to distribute it, it went on the front of magazines and that kind of stuff. But the illustration there is, a few years later, I got a job doing search engine optimization. This was in 2002. What the hell was that? Search engines, not very interesting, but it was with an ad agency that I really wanted to work for. Anyway, that took off. Right? So I think my point I'm saying there is you've got to really be hungry to learn more, to lean into all the opportunities that are happening. There may be exciting stuff happening today, which in 20 years' time we will talk about in the same way I've just talked about CD-ROMs, right? But don't get lost in the newfangled thing. Always keep sight of, as a marketer, what you're trying to do. You're trying to help your company articulate its value to a would-be customer. And there's always going to be new and exciting ways of doing that. But don't lose sight of what it is that you're trying to do. You want to be relevant and useful to somebody. That's what's really important. That's always got to be your starting point.
Jonathan, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange provides the technology, content, and expertise to identify and acquire your next ideal customer.